Hi, this is Andrew Phillips. Thank you for downloading the Graymeer Church of Christ Sermon Podcast. If you have any questions or if you'd like to contact us, check out our website at graymeer.com. We'd also love for you to visit with us in a worship service. You're always welcome at the Graymeer Church of Christ.
Please open your Bibles to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. I'm thankful for the opportunity to speak this evening about our recent mission trip to Arizona. As it was announced earlier, I'll announce again to the ladies of the congregation to keep in mind that in the ladies' class in the fellowship hall this coming Wednesday evening, some of the ladies who were on this trip will also be making a presentation about this trip. And I think that'll be exciting for all the ladies. You are invited to that. And of course, you'll get a different perspective on the trip. So I think that'll be something you'll want to try to take part in. But I want to begin this evening in Galatians 6 and just share something that I've studied this past week in my own personal Bible study and use that as a springboard into the report on our trip from to Arizona. But in Galatians chapter 6, of course, you got Paul addressing several different issues, but the main thing that's going on in the book of Galatians is wherever Paul went evangelizing, it seems like he had this group of Jews that would follow him and cause trouble, or Jewish Christians. Sometimes folks use the fancy word Judaizers to describe them, of these folks that would sort of follow him and teach after he had left that you had to, in order to get to Christ, you had to go back and be circumcised. You had to go through obedience to the law of Moses in order to get to Christ. And so you've got Paul defending and refuting that teaching throughout the first few chapters and showing that's foolishness. The old law was a schoolmaster. It served to point out what sin was and to point people to their need for the Messiah who could take sin away. And he says freedom's in Christ, so it makes no sense to go backwards in order to go forwards. So he handles that for most of Galatians, but when you get to the conclusion in Galatians chapter 6, Paul starts talking about some practical ways to live and enjoy that freedom in Christ. And in those first five verses is what I want to talk about tonight. In the first couple of verses of Galatians 6, Paul talks about the spiritually mature and about how we have a responsibility to gently bring back those who have fallen to temptation. It says we're to bear one another's burdens. That means that I am my brother's keeper. We do have a responsibility toward one another. But he speaks about that spirit of gentleness. And he says that that's what we should have as we're talking to others about their need for Christ. And I think that's interesting because he goes on and says the reason why we have that spirit is because in the future the tables could be turned. It could be us who have fallen, and we're going to need somebody to help bear our burdens, and we're going to want somebody to deal gently with us in order to help us and bring us back. But in verses 3 and 4, he shows how that spirit of gentleness is not always so easy, especially as we continue in doing what's right. Sometimes maybe it's easy to fall into the trap of being weary in well-doing, or to get puffed up, to get complacent or comfortable. And sometimes we get in such a routine of maybe doing some of the things that we're supposed to be doing that we lose that heart and that spirit of gentleness. Sometimes maybe we get puffed up and about things like the number of our congregation, the attendance numbers. Sometimes I hear preachers who get caught up in that, or church members that love to tell others about how many different people attend their church. But Paul says that you need to test your work. You know, I think in those situations we need to think, well, how many of that number did I baptize, or did I teach, or did I restore? And when we think along those lines, maybe that'll help us not to get puffed up, but to remember our responsibility toward others. But notice in verse 5, this is what I want to focus on. It says, for each will have to bear his own load. The Greek word, I don't like Greek, but as I was studying this week, the Greek word that's translated load in verse 5, it's not the same word that is translated burden in verse 2. In verse 2, there are some huge burdens, some huge boulders in life that from time to time we're going to need help from one another in order to lift those and to get past those obstacles in life. But the word in verse 5 is a term that could refer to the weight of a soldier's pack. You know, soldiers, I'm not a soldier. We've got some guys here. I tried to text Chad and ask him some questions last night. Can you believe he didn't even respond to me to help me with this? But we've got some guys who are former soldiers here that could attest to some of these things. But from what I've read, soldiers help one another with big tasks, and they work together as a team. However, each individual soldier has the responsibility of carrying his own pack. I was reading this last week as I was studying this, just about the life of a soldier and the work of a soldier, how the technology has advanced so much that soldiers have so many things to carry. They're talking about soldiers can serve better nowadays. They're more connected. Their work ought to be easier. Yet still, the main question is how much of this stuff can they carry? And from the things I was reading, it was saying that by the time you put on a soldier's uniform and his clothes and his ammo and his armor and his helmet and all the different his technology, different electronics he has to carry and batteries, then he's carrying about on average about 60 pounds worth of equipment. If he's a specialist, he's probably carrying more like 90 to 100 pounds of equipment. So the real question is just how much of this stuff can they carry? But the word there in verse 5 is something that could be used to describe a soldier's pack, a soldier's load, what each individual soldier has to carry. But the point there for us is that each Christian soldier, at times we're going to need help with the big boulders in our lives. Yet each Christian soldier has the responsibility to carry our share of the load of the work of the church. At the judgment day, each Christian is going to be judged individually and individually held accountable for carrying his pack. I think about this idea caught my attention this week as I was thinking about, as a parent, how do we train up children who can grow into adults, who can carry their share of the weight in the church? And I don't know that I have the answer yet. So far, I think the best answer I found is that if I want them to lead as adults, then I need to train them to lead now while they're young. I need to put them in situations where they can be trained. If I want them to lead singing as an adult, to preach, to teach, to read scripture, to lead prayer, then I need to put them in situations where they can learn how to do those things now. If I want them to lead as an adult, then they need to see me leading in those areas as well. Because if I fail in those areas, I feel like the chances are more likely that they will also fail in those areas. But you've heard me talk, I want to take this and apply it to missions now. You've heard me before talk about my feelings toward the youth and mission work. I don't ever want to do another mission trip without the youth. Here at Graymere, when I plan mission trips, I generally go to the youth group's calendar. I check their school calendars because I want to have the young people go on the mission trips with us. They, right now, in the present, they bring some things that, I'm sorry, older folks and people my age, they bring some energy and excitement that sometimes we're lacking. So they bring some things that I want in the present. But also, if they're going to carry on the load in the areas of evangelism and mission work in the future, then they need to be trained now. So I like to have our youth group be on the mission trips with us. While our spring break trip to Arizona was not a youth mission trip, I do want to focus on the youth tonight because I think we have a youth group here that's definitely carrying their load in the area of evangelism and mission work. And so I want to take the opportunity tonight to highlight them and to brag on them for what they did on this mission trip. This year we had 36 people on the trip. 24 of those were young people. So that was very exciting for us for the makeup of our team. To tell you just a little bit about the Salt River Church. Of course, you've heard me talk about the history of that church as well. But Graymere's involvement with the Salt River Church in Phoenix began in July of 2013. Of course, we've got a longer history with Josh and Divine Austin and their family. But in July of 2013, the Austins moved to Phoenix for the purpose of planting a church that would focus on Native Americans there in that very large city. And by the end of 2013, they had already begun to be effective. When we visited, they had 52 people in attendance in December of 2013 there in their living room for worship that Sunday morning that we were there. So very quickly, just in that first half of a year, we noticed there's a huge need for additional workers. That became one of the big needs of that work. And we were able, a short time later, to find a young couple that would move there and work with them. However, that did not work out, and they shortly thereafter left. But in 2014, the church, as they're growing, they outgrew the living room of the Austin's home. So they began meeting in the community center on the Salt River Pima Reservation that's there in Phoenix. And during that year, some of you remember Evan and Crystal Totacine. They were converted, and they began working part-time with Josh and Divine. So that helped with the need for additional workers. And in 2014, towards the latter part of the year, Graymere made our first mission trip there to Phoenix to work with them. In 2015, the church continued to grow, but was again faced with this need for additional workers. Evan and Crystal left and moved to Denver for 2 years to attend the Bear Valley Bible Institute. So they needed more workers. But also around this time, the leaders of the reservation began to not be quite as cooperative toward the church meeting there. So we also had a new need, which is we needed to find them a place for the church to meet on a regular basis. So in 2016, that's what we did. We found them a prime rental space, and they renovated it and began meeting there. And we took another trip out there. We spent a week evangelizing that new neighborhood in Mesa, introducing the community to the church. But in 2017, now the church is continuing to grow. Once they got that new space, they became known as the Salt River Church of Christ, and they continue to grow. Next month, Evan and Crystal are going to graduate from the Bible Institute, and by August, they'll be moved back to Phoenix to join in with this work. So it's taken a few years, but hopefully we're finally getting to a point where we've addressed the two big needs of that church. So now they'll be ready to really take off and grow that work even more than they already have. But this year's trip was our third trip out there. It was very multifaceted. We did a lot of different things. We had guys knocking down a wall in the newly renovated church building because they already need more space. We had folks knocking doors on the reservation and talking to others about the church. We had afternoon activities, after-school activities for kids. We had evening meals for the community. And then we also had an evening VBS and singing school for the church and also for those who responded to our invitation. But you see on the photo there, just a photo of the team that's taken at South Mountain in the south of Phoenix. Collectively, this was just a phenomenal group to work with. I like going to the same place multiple years because it gets a whole lot smoother as you know what to do and where to go. And we didn't have any major issues, but definitely when it comes to the people that were on this trip, this was just a phenomenal group to work with. I want to start talking about our evangelism teams. Of course, you see there Adam showing the evangelism team where to go. Evangelism on the reservation, which is where we were working this time, is very slow, it's hot, and it's a tiring process. You can notice all the open space and farming space back behind them in that photo. With the sun bearing down on them, they would have to walk most of these streets. I mean, just to walk around the block, it's all laid out perfectly on a grid. Just to walk that block on the grid is going to be more than a mile. So you might walk down the mile a mile long street in order to knock only two homes. But of course the sun's hot and that makes that a very difficult process. At times the roads were so long and the homes so sparse that we would just load up as many people as possible in a van and drive house to house and stop and let a group jump out and run and go and knock that door and invite them to the different activities that we were having. Here's a photo of JD and Garrett inviting a fella to the activities that we were having. A neat part for me in working with the Native Americans is their receptiveness. Not everyone's interested. The majority of folks are not interested and what we're inviting them and talking to them about. That's just the way it is wherever you go. However, I haven't met very many Native Americans who won't at least listen to you and find out why you're knocking on their door and what it is that you want to talk to them about. So I enjoy the receptiveness as we go door to door on the reservation. Sometimes we divided our teams into smaller groups, sometimes larger groups. Here's a photo of a boys evangelism team. You got Garrett and Ben and Jackson there going house to house. Of course, this was an area that was not so sparse, so it was easier to walk that neighborhood and to knock those doors. Sometimes we'd have girls evangelism teams. Don't worry, we didn't leave any girls teams without adults or men to just in case any dogs got after them or anything like that. But again, this is a great aspect, or another great aspect of the continual work that we're doing in Arizona, is the continual relationships we get to build. You see Aaliyah and Alyssa, two of the Austin girls, there in that photo as well, with Tessa and Summer. You don't always get this when you're bouncing around to different places every year and to other people's works, but when you really dig in and start trying to plan a church and build relationships, it's great to continue going back there and building the personal relationships that we have with individuals in the church there. Another aspect to highlight, there's Amy leading a kids evangelism team. This is probably my favorite part about domestic mission work is, selfishly, my kids get to go with us. But not just my kids, I like for other people's smaller kids to go with us on this trip. Again, I think we need to train them young if we want them to do these things as adults. But also, they're very helpful when you've got kindergartners, first graders, second graders, third graders knocking on doors. It's very, very difficult for adults to be rude and to close a door in their face, because they want to know why these little kindergartners are knocking on their doors and what it is they're trying to hand out. So that's very important for us as well. Here's a photo of Kathy leading a girls evangelism team. I like to see adults who are willing to go with us and willing to train younger people to do this work. I love Fred and Kathy. They're on just about all the mission trips, and they've got a great ability in this area of training younger people for this work. Scripture says women are to train the younger women. So we need more who are willing to engage in that aspect of our work. I say this is our number one evangelism team. The silliness that takes place between Andrew Fleming and Braden Hill when they're together is another story. But I thought they were our number one evangelism team because they were constantly together and they were constantly energetic and willing to get out and knock those doors. Maybe by the last day when everybody was really hot and tired, maybe they were slowing down. But generally, after everybody's tired of walking those streets and maybe we've resorted and gone to the van and driving up to a house, they were the ones that were still willing to jump out and run up and knock those doors. So they were my number one evangelism team on this trip. Let me make sure I say here, this is Stephanie Butterfield inviting students to some after-school fun. Last time I gave a missions report, I called her by the wrong name. And during the invitation song, I pulled out my phone and texted her to say sorry. But she's reminded about that ever since. So that is Stephanie. But she had she was willing to lead in an area that we needed. We were doing an after-school activity for kids. So she was willing to take this big poster board and go stand outside the schools every day. And as school's getting out and folks are driving by to pick up their kids and walking by, she was there to invite them and to talk to them about the activities that we were having. In the afternoon, sometimes we had sports activities. You know, there's a lot of folks who are into athletics. So for folks who showed up ready for that kind of thing, we had guys playing volleyball, we had guys playing and girls playing basketball and baseball and other things like that. But what was neat about this trip was, you know, not everybody's into athletics, and personally, sometimes it's a little annoying to, as a minister, when I hear young folks say, "Well, I don't want to go to that. All they ever do is play sports stuff, and I'm not into sports." So it was really neat that we had a very diverse group. And we had folks that were into athletics, and they were there willing to lead in those areas. But we had also had folks who were more artistic and who were there able to lead crafts and other activities with other folks who were more like them. So I thought that was neat. And, of course, the whole purpose of all of this is just to make contact with people so that we can then continue talking to them about the church. There's another photo there of the craft activities. Here's a photo of some of our little girls having fun. Again, I love the younger kids going with us. With an activity like VBS or after-school activities, the best way to get young people to come and be with us is to already have young people of our own there. So they were very helpful. You might sometimes hear adults say, well, what can these little kids do on a mission trip? Well, they can do a whole lot more than you think. But they're definitely good at bringing people in and being inclusive and making a connection that maybe adults can't always make. Here's a photo of serving dinner for the community. This was another part of our work. We didn't actually prepare the food. The Salt River Church prepared all of the food for the evening meals, and they were feeding about 100 people every night, whether it was church members or the community. But I was pleasantly surprised to see our younger girls volunteering. This was the first night, and they jumped right in there. They were serving the food to all the folks who came through the line without even having to be asked. It was also nice to see our young men respectfully waiting to go through the line last. I saw these guys eat, and that was also necessary for them to go through the line last. But I thought that was good for our group to be last every night and to let the folks that we invited be the first ones to go through and get the food. But here's another aspect of our work that we did. We had this evening singing school. And this was my first time to be a part of something like this on a mission trip. Actually, I don't know that I've ever really been part of a singing school anywhere, but I thought this was really neat. This is something you don't get if you go on a mission trip with a group that, the fact is, some mission trips are more like a pat yourself on the back and look at what we did type trips, or if you go on trips that are more like painting a wall or different things. Just different type benevolence, humanitarian type acts. But when we're focusing on planning a church and growing a church somewhere, we get to really know what it is they need in order to grow to maturity. And what Salt River told us was they need to improve their singing. So this was really neat that we were able to have a singing school. And thankfully, it was not me teaching that. As you know, we've got a great asset in John David and his ability to lead singing. So he taught that school every night, and it was a great success. We had about 100 people come for the kids' activities and singing school each night. There were church members, there were community members, there were folks from other churches in the area that came to be with us. That photo only shows about half of them on one of those nights, but we had a good attendance every night. You got Ben Thompson there running the paperless hymnal. This was also something that was neat. We noticed that the church needed the paperless hymnal, so we were able to purchase that for them and to spend some time during the week teaching them how to use that in their worship service. Each night, also, we would mix in just a little bit of teaching. Of course, we teach, of course, when we're singing, but we would mix in some opportunities for Josh to get up and explain for the benefit of the community. He would talk about, you know, why we sing, how we sing, and he would talk about why it is that they wanted to improve their singing. So that was a good opportunity for him each night to connect with our visitors. Again, there you've got our young folks. They're ready for the singing school. What can our little kids do on a mission trip? They know all these songs, so they're there and they can help sing and teach even adults how to sing some new songs. Now, here's a photo of the evening kids Bible class. This was probably, I guess I would say this was the last aspect of our daily activities during this mission trip. Kim Staggs and Lana Compton and several others did a great job organizing this and planning and preparing for this each night. They would have Bible classes, but then they would have crafts for kids. As you can see, the kids from the community greatly benefited from their preparation and the time that they dedicated to that. Here's another neat aspect of our last day there, grapefruit picking. Josh Austin, his front yard and basically the front yard of all of his neighbors are full of grapefruit trees. So he decided it would be kind of neat if we pick a bunch of grapefruit and then go and look for people that we can give it to. And that way it'd give us an opportunity to talk to folks about the church. So you got Emma Voss there in that photo picking some grapefruit. This was my first time to use a fruit picker in order to pluck fruit from high up in the tree. So I enjoyed that. It was a fun experience. I promise you I just caught Allie, somebody, whoever took this photo, caught Allie off guard. But I promise you everybody enjoyed picking grapefruit. And but this was her first time on a mission trip with us. And I also love having folks come on for the first time, but especially when they have a servant's heart and a great attitude like she had all week. Kathy Porter gets the prize for being able to carry more grapefruit in her arms than anyone else. We also found this monkey hanging out. That's Aiden Compton, another one of our excellent younger kids that was part of this trip and worked hard all week long. But what we did, we had a trailer load full of grapefruit. And so the first place we went with this was there on the reservation. There's this big, huge complex where all the government departments are located there in this office complex. So we went there, and as luck would have it, they were having an interdepartmental basketball tournament, working real hard, playing basketball and having a cookout. So we walked around and were giving out grapefruit to different folks. Someone commented to me about Fred Porter. They said it's just neat to watch the way people respond to him when he goes up to them. Like, look how, they said, just watch. Look how calm they are and how they respond to him. They're listening to the words he's saying as he's trying to give them grapefruit. Later we found out it's that he was giving them grapefruit and saying, here, have some pineapple. So these Native Americans were trying to figure out why this white guy was giving them grapefruit and calling it pineapple. So that was interesting as well. While we were there, we had the opportunity to visit a senior center that's on the reservation. We had some folks who had prepared some gift baskets during the week. And so we took gift baskets and some grapefruit and were able to go into the senior center and deliver that to the folks there. There's Tyler Robinson and again some of our younger kids, and I think their faces just show what our week was like. It was just a joy, both in the work we were doing, but also in being together all week. I'm so thankful for this congregation. The amount of mission work and the way we're doing mission work is something that is not so common everywhere. But I'm thankful for a church that believes in mission work. I'm thankful for kids that are willing to go on mission trips and for adults that are willing to go and to lead them. I'm thankful for parents who are willing to put their kids in those situations to be trained. I'm thankful for all of you who are willing to encourage and to even to support others financially to go on this trip. I'm thankful for an eldership that budgets every year so that we can be so involved in such an in-depth way with the Salt River Church out in Phoenix. You know, we've got a lot of folks here who are really carrying their load when it comes to the mission work that Graymere is a part of. But as we do, I also want to take the opportunity tonight, because maybe there's someone here who, as you reflect on things, possibly you're struggling to carry your burdens, to carry your load. Maybe you've got some of those boulders that you need help with, and that's why we're here tonight. Possibly there are some who are falling underneath that burden of temptation. That's why we're here, so that we can gently say that we love you and that we want to help you bear that burden. So with that spirit of gentleness, we want to extend an invitation tonight. If there's any who need to come back to the Lord, or if there's any who need to put on Christ in baptism, we want to invite you to do that. And you can come right now, as together we stand as we sing.